What it is, what it do, welcome to WrestleMania Weekend Edition of the One Fall Podcast. Jawa, Joel, MK, down in the NOLA, it's WrestleMania Weekend. Right up here in the 403, the YYC of Calgary, Alberta, Canada, the home of technical wrestling. It's the One Fall Podcast, WrestleMania Blowout Podcast.
Brother.
Yes, dude. Guys, Jax, let's do this.
Yeah, no, I was just waiting for you to actually introduce the ultimate babyface.
No, and today we'll see what happens. I think today, at one point, Mo will become the ultimate heel, just the way you've been talking to me about this time for the last few weeks here.
Yeah. And
Joel is the ultimate babyface. I'm the ultimate optimist, and let's get going.
And how about that I'm the ultimate realist? 7 hours. Sure.
Okay.
Seven hours.
That's also the same amount as what the Tokyo Dome show was, so I don't think anyone has a right to complain about that, because it was the same amount of time. So was the Tokyo Dome show. So was Wrestle Kingdom. So was Wrestle Kingdom. Yes, it was. It was 6 hours and 50 minutes. I timed it.
No.
Six hours, 50 minutes.
No.
So it's not an argument. I don't want to hear anyone talk about
7 hours.
7 hours. I can't. You watched the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, you know why? Because the Tokyo Dome didn't contain 7 hours with 3 hours of it being video recaps that I've seen a million times. And backstage vignettes that weren't interesting and all that shit. It was 7 hours of, if it was 6 hours and 50 minutes, it was 6 hours and 30 minutes of excellent to extremely excellent wrestling.
It's also like an hour that's not, you don't need to watch. It's just going to be recapping. Like, you don't need to watch that hour.
Well, if you're live, you kind of don't have a choice.
No, you don't. Like, you don't need to watch that hour. Like, if you just turn it just for the network, even, if you don't want to watch the Battle Royals and you don't want to watch the Cruiserweights, no one is. So if you don't want to watch that, then you're only really having to do 5 hours.
You ask me if I can watch the Battle Royals and the Cruiserweights instead of Stephanie McMahon, guess what? That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would rather do than watch Stephanie McMahon wrestle. See, this is a good show already.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, so let's start with some minor things as we go into this week. The Louisiana Commission, for some of those independent shows, have banned a lot of those moves. Some of the moves being, Joel, I think you have a better idea of what the moves are, so I'll let you talk about this more. But some of those moves include pile drivers, moonsaults, and making it very hard for performers on those smaller shows, like a Rev Pro, for example, to really show everything that they can on their stage, on the smaller stage, that is. Reign of Honor, WWE are off limits as they're looked at as A shows from the Louisiana Commission, but these smaller B shows, they're going to have a little more trouble this week. Hey, bud?
You pretty much covered everything, so.
Yeah, but we're going to discuss it. No?
It really and truly, the biggest thing with a lot of the dives is going for the head. So you can't make contact with the head. Lance Storm pointed this out to Will Ospreay on Twitter. So as long as the guys find ways to work around it, if you're a talented wrestler, you shouldn't have to rely on pile drivers, dives to the head, 450 splashes. You should be able to tell a story within that ring and work around these rules. These rules are put in place. You're going to be there. I think everyone had kind of an idea that Louisiana Athletic Commission was going to be a little more difficult. And that started several months ago when it was revealed that you had to have a very current HIV and another test as well. And you had to be tested clean before you could be cleared to compete. So it's very well known that this athletic commission was going to be tougher. So, I mean, walking into this, guys just have to be smart. I get that some guys are worked up about this and this affects what they're going to kind of do moving forward and what their matches are going to be. But I think as long as you're smart about it, you can work around it.
Look, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Mo, what do you think?
All right. Number one, Tokyo Dome, 5 hours, 50 minutes. So, see, not 6 hours and 50 minutes. See, 5 hours, 50 minutes. A nice, normal length of time for the show. I was just on their website, just looked at it.
Okay.
All right, number two. What were we talking about? No. This whole thing is ridiculous because we're looking at, over the course of 4 days, like 50 events. So most of these events, the guys will be able to do whatever they want to do because there won't be anybody there. Like, it's a matter of, I mean, I'm sure they'll be the ones who are fined. And how much is the fine? We don't know. I mean, are they going to go to jail for it? No. I don't know what the fine is. But, I mean, they're doing, like, they're literally, WrestleMania weekend will have events at 3 in the morning where matches are at, like, you know, 3 in the morning, like Joey Janela's spring break party, you know, like this wild drunken thing and whatever. So if somebody pulls off a moonsault there to the outside, I don't really think it is it's going to be a big deal. I also don't think legally they can say these guys are big and these guys are small. If they took this to court, I'm sure they would win these smaller companies because you cannot make that distinction. You cannot legally do that. That's just not possible that you can legally make that distinction that say different rules for these guys and these guys. If it was different rules for just the WWE, maybe they could get away with it. As soon as they throw ROH in there, there's no way they can actually legally enforce this. It's just not possible. Any judge will go on the side of the independents. But yeah, I mean, we're literally looking at 50 shows this weekend. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's only certain ones like Evolve and WWN and some of these bigger ones where the guys will have to figure it out. They'll work around it. Everything will be fine. But yeah, I don't think it'll be a story at the end of the weekend. That's for sure.
We're also looking at something for performers that are involved with Evolve, that Access will start hosting tournaments, I think, as soon as Thursday, where they're going to be having tournaments for the North American Championship, the Women's Championship, the Tag Championship, and the UK Championship. And they're going to be hosting other matches that have non-contracted WWE employees, such as Keith Lee, face Cassius Ohno on these events. And that could be a way, too, for some of these performers that don't have a WWE contract to have an opportunity to showcase their talent. And also, like you were saying, some of them will go in some of these smaller arenas and not everyone's going to get to see their stuff. If it does become more serious, I don't know what the New York Commission's like for next year, but if this does become more serious, maybe they'll look at an outlet like an NXT, number one, for a WWE showcase of their talent, but not just a WWE showcase of their talent, to showcase the Ring of Honor, New Japan, Impact Wrestling, and et cetera.
Hey, wait a second. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. Did you hear that?
What's that?
That was the sound of Vince McMahon's boner when he sees Keith Lee.
Oh. I don't know what to say to that.
Come on, you know it's true. He's gonna splooge, and Steven Regal is gonna splooge all over Walter. So it's gonna be interesting.
Both those guys are, I think, among probably the more high end talent independent wrestlers out there right now. Keith Lee has just won the PWG Heavyweight Championship, correct, Mo? He took that from Chucky T?
Yeah, I believe he took it from Chucky T, and isn't he also the WWN champion, I believe?
I thought that was Sabre.
Or Evolve, one or the other.
Yeah.
He's got one other belt like that.
Okay.
He's either got Evolve or WWN, so.
And anytime you get involved with WWN/Evolve, then that seems to be kind of a gateway to guys kind of leading to getting into WWE, because that seems to be just kind of a little feeder system to them.
Oh, it's absolutely got a working relationship that way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, and that's why he left ROH to go there, really.
Now, my question, I'd heard some stories about Walter has denied any contract offers, and it sounds like he said that he's quite happy doing his stuff in the Europe side of things, and Keith Lee's obviously stateside. Which one of them do you think WWE will grab first?
Keith Lee.
Keith Lee. You.
Oh, yeah, because Walter's got a style that is not the thing about Keith Lee is they won't have to do much. He, you know, they put him through NXT 6 months, he could be in the main roster. Walter, in a lot of ways, they would have to really rework his whole his whole style and make that fit within the WWE system, because it is a different style combination. It's a strange combination. I don't know if you guys have seen him, but it's a strange combination of Japanese strong style and British catch wrestling. Like it's very, very physical, way more physical than anybody on the WWE roster is really allowed to have, as far as just like stiffness and how snug he is and all that stuff. So, I think they would look at Keith Lee and see this big guy who's agile, and Walter's big too, but Keith Lee still has the look, and they wouldn't have to, he wouldn't take as much. I don't think they'd look at him as much of a project.
My other question to you, was it not, cause we're seeing the, during that tournament, Donovan Dijak, or is it Chris Dijak? Yeah, Chris Dijak.
Yeah, I think it's Chris Dijak, yeah, because Chris is cooler than Donovan.
Yeah. He'll be debuting, and he'll be competing in one of the tournament matches, so we're seeing him starting to pop up more, and I imagine he'll probably start playing a bigger role in NXT moving forward after the call-ups. But my question to you was, wasn't it Chris Dijak and Keith Lee that had the five-star match? And that Meltzer was just losing his mind over. I don't quite remember.
Yeah, I don't know if it was five stars, but I do remember. Yeah, that was last year at the WrestleMania weekend, I think, wasn't it? Yeah. They had apparently this great match, you know. And it makes sense. I mean, they're both these huge guys who are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they've had Keith Lee on their radar for a while. I also think that it's kind of one of those things where they were waiting to see. Like, I think his look and his style, they don't want too many of any one thing, right? And I think they were thinking they had guys kind of to fit his you know, his role. But, I mean, we're also looking at, you know, we're looking at guys getting drafted to the main roster. We're looking at a talent shakeup, roster shakeup. And then we're also looking at cuts after WrestleMania. All these things will happen. And that'll change things in NXT.
Yes.
Definitely need the cut side of things, because those rosters are getting bloated.
No question.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you look at someone like a Cody Rhodes, not to get it down the subject of this way, but you look at someone like Cody and how much he's benefited by going to the independents, if you want to count ROH and New Japan as that. And he has just became a completely different character. I believe it was Vice put an article about how he is what Stone Cold was from WCW to ECW right now. You can see some of the parallels there. The bottom line is that Cody has found an entirely different character and has had time to find a different character. And you have guys in that roster, Ty Dillinger, Zack Ryder, Ziggler obviously won't be one. But the point is, there's guys that have the ability that I think would make a benefit for them to go on the indies and have a chance to grow. We saw with Drew McIntyre, he came back and was entirely a much better character, and we're seeing it with Cody right now. So I think right now cuts, well, they will happen. I think some may even welcome them.
No, I think you're right. I mean, a guy like Cody obviously requested his release, and certain guys have requested the release and not gotten it, and certain guys have. I mean, Austin Aries is going to become bigger than he ever was over this next year.
He's bumped up that Impact rating. He made me tune into Impact this week, so kudos to him. He made me interested in Impact, and I think that has a lot to do with Scott D'Amore and the Jackal,
Cyrus,
But, you know, I think Austin Aries and what he's been able to do there is another reason for that as well, to make Impact Wrestling. You know, I don't know what they have this week, but they're a relevant wrestling product again to a degree.
Well, and it's one of those things that I really want to see. I don't know
how you're going to find
time. Yeah, but the Lucha Underground and them doing a card together, that's, you know, wrestling each other, that's fascinating.
Yes, that's another thing. There's just, and that, like, you know, when we came into this, Joel and I were looking at some of the smaller shows in this, and they're like, man, we can't even figure out how to watch ROH and NXT in the same night. How are we going to watch all these other shows?
I know. Trust me, I know.
That's the thing. Even if you were in New Orleans, it'd be so hard to figure out what you do, right?
In some ways, there's almost an advantage to being home, because you're in New Orleans, you hit an event, and you hit another, and you like, it's a marathon. It's a sprint. That's combined with it's a marathon run at a sprint's pace is really what WrestleMania is when you're there live. To fit in as much from the moment you wake up till the end of the night for 4 days straight, and then you're exhausted. And when you guys go to WrestleMania, you don't go and afterwards go right back to work the next day. You need another day or two to recover from the vacation.
Yeah.
But that's it. So, I mean, you can actually see more stuff at home. But it's a matter of picking and choosing. Joel, did you pull aside some of the top matches that are going to be occurring this week?
I actually had just kind of gotten a small list of what was popping up of some of the main events. Not all of them, but just kind of a general list of some of the stuff. So we've got Matt Riddle's Bloodsport, where we've got Matt Riddle versus Loki, which Matt Riddle's been someone on my radar for a while. I think he's someone that...
he was Meltzer's Rookie of the Year, was he not?
I
don't know if he was Rookie of the Year. He might have been. I mean, he's been at it for a while now, so I don't think he would have qualified as Rookie of the Year. Because, I mean, he was already wrestling in Evolve at the same time that Gargano was there. And,
right.
And TJP and stuff. So I don't know if he'd qualify. I think to qualify as the rookie, it's 2 years. But, yeah, so I don't know if it was that, but I'm sure he got something. I don't remember the rewards.
And by the way, really quickly, you were talking about people debuting. We had a redebut on SmackDown tonight, Mo. Starting early. We got Primo tonight.
When?
Anyways, Joel.
Yeah,
you blinked.
We also have at Evolve 102, Matt Riddle versus Zack Sabre Jr. for the championship. Yeah. So that should be fun.
They've wrestled each other a ton, and I hear they have a Matt Riddle versus Zack Sabre Jr. match that gets over everywhere and is supposed to be awesome. So,
and Zack Sabre Jr. officially is the number one enemy of the state of Mexico now.
Hmm?
Did you hear this?
No.
Joel?
So what happened is, I don't know where this promo was cut, but he'd cut a promo and he talked about defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And he talked about...
Oh, that. Yes, I saw it.
Yeah.
People aren't pissed about that, are they?
Yep.
Yeah.
It made local news in Mexico.
Losers. Oh, you're kidding me. He's just kidding. Yeah, he goes, Mexico, fuck Mexico. It's just a heel funny thing to do.
It's like that guy that spit on the little girl this week at the indie show.
No, well, that's a prick.
He's a prick, but it's also, I'm like, that's heel heat.
That's stupid heel heat.
Archer scaring a little kid is heel heat. Spitting on a little kid is going too far. Not to the point where he should get beat up by the audience members like he did. But they should have gone.
Never
to the
jump
back
over the rail. Like you shouldn't.
No,
I don't.
It was like 20 people beat the shit out of him.
Did he mean to spit on her?
I don't know. But what it should have been is afterwards they should have gone to the promoter, demanded their money back, demand that he never gets hired again, and made a big deal on social media and make sure he never gets hired anywhere because it'll happen.
I agree.
And that's the way you handle that. You don't beat the person up. But yeah, Archer scaring the little kids is awesome. Like, that's great heel heat. But what we're saying about, I saw that promo. It's the same thing. Like, that's Zack Sabre Jr. If you ever watch his promos, like earlier in the week, he was talking about he's like, when I face Naito, I'm going to shit in his hat and put it back on his head. And then afterwards, he's like, I'm not going to shit in his hat. His hat isn't even worth shitting in. Naito's so worthless. I'm not even going to bother. I was thinking about wearing a hat to the ring, but I can't. Tiny head. Can't do it. But I was going to shit. Like, he's just hilarious. Like, that's who he is. Like, he's a really funny promo. That's all he was doing was just screwing around. He said that. Taka laughed and said, no, you can't say that. And he said, well, then you can go, Taka. Like, and that actually made Mexico? What a bunch of idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to make Mexico. But that's stupid.
They can use that into heel heat, like to get like a match in Mexico, though.
He's a wrestling guy cutting a promo, trying to make the boys pop and entertain, and then it's nothing serious. Like, get a life. That, you know, go worry about the military covering the southern border and Trump, you know, because they can't afford a wall. Go worry about pay for that wall, damn it, so the military isn't down there where they aren't needed. Will you guys just step up and do what you said you'd do? Remember when they promised they'd pay for the wall? Remember? Anybody remember?
Seems so long ago. Between the porn stars and shithole countries. Seems so long ago.
Moving along, we've got a few other independent matches that definitely kind of pick up some interest. We also have Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, the Golden Lovers, versus Chuck Taylor and question mark, as they weren't they had someone to take on Omega and Ibushi, but because they weren't part of CMLL, they were not allowed to face them. New Japan vetoed that, so it's got to be Chuck Taylor and someone. So it'll be interesting who Chuck's partner is and what kind of happens with that, especially with the resurgence of the Golden Lovers, who just seem to be starting to get into sync right now.
Yeah.
What else do we've got? We have Rev Pro. We have Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. So Zack's going to be crawling around several independent matches, which is great to see because he's... Now, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, Mo, but do you think Zack Sabre Jr. is a made man after facing Okada?
Ooh, that's interesting. Like, I'm actually not a huge fan of his wrestling.
Yeah.
So, I might be the wrong guy to ask. I'm not a big fan of, his storytelling or psychology, though he's got incredible moves. Like, he's unbelievable from that perspective. But he, like, eats people up. He doesn't give anything back, usually. He did against Okada, because that's Okada, but he eats people up in the same way Braun Strowman's supposed to, and it's like, and I actually do look at him and think, you know, even I could take this guy. Like, seriously, I just look at him and think, why didn't somebody just, you know, shoot a double leg on him and just Donkey Kong him to death? Like, what's this? Why are people trying to, you know, trade holes with him? So I'm not a huge fan on him, but there's no question his star power and his match with Okada, like, same thing. There's so much momentum on these independents. Like, you're seeing, you know, them sell out, the Strong Style evolved in 13 minutes or whatever it was. Now they're going to do a 14,000 seat stadium. I have no question that All In is going to sell 10,000, like, in 20 minutes. There's so much momentum that a guy like him, yeah, the best thing he ever did was not accept the WWE's offer, you know, where he would have been buried. In a lot of ways, in a system, and like he's definitely he can make his living and do well for himself out there.
What else? No, and I definitely agree. His style is not exactly something that I gravitate towards. It's definitely, I guess the biggest thing is, like you said, why are these guys trading holes with him when they know?
Yeah, why doesn't somebody just punch him in his face?
Yeah.
Like, no, I've never seen one person just take a swing at him, you know, which is what you would do. Like,
yeah. But I mean, he's obviously worked his way up. He made Naito, Ibushi, and Tanahashi all tap out. So those are no small feats, especially in New Japan, where you see a lot of guys are... They're not terrible at booking their shows, so to get that type of momentum was great. And Okada,
well, that's how you do it.
And Okada versus Tanahashi next will be even more fun. So there's a lot of positives. That's kind of it for me for running down the. There's a lot of wrestling in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. And like a guy like Matt Riddle, I think has nine matches or something like that over the course of it. Yeah, like it is ridiculous.
Yeah, and not only is there a lot of independent wrestling, but we also have the two big shows three big shows with Ring of Honor, NXT, and WWE.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's start on Friday. We don't need to run down every individual Hall of Fame inductor and inductee, but. Just who are you maybe the most excited about seeing? Who are you the most interested about seeing? Just go one at a time. Mo, you can start.
Kid Rock.
I don't know if you're... part of me thinks you're serious.
No, God, no. No, I don't know who's inducting him.
Not Undertaker, because we know he doesn't like to show up.
Well, there
save
you
that,
go.
Save that rant. Save it. Well, I'll have a rant on that in a bit to save that one.
Yeah, it's I'm trying to, off the top of my head, I'm not thinking, the only guy I can remember is Goldberg.
You got Goldberg, the Dudleys, Ivory, Mark, Hillbilly Jim.
I think Mark Henry will give a great speech.
Me too, yeah.
And Big Show's inducting him, I think he'll give a great speech.
Yeah.
Edge and Christian inducting the Dudleys should be fun.
With the Hardys possibly coming on stage.
Yeah, it could. I mean, I would hope so.
That's what that's what Bubba said he wanted on Busted Open Radio.
Yeah, no, that would be great. Those are probably the two highlights. Goldberg will be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting for the reaction. Heyman introducing him will be good, but what will his reaction be? And will he tease another match, which I kind of suspect he will? Because he won't say no. Yeah. So That one's interesting, but it's like some Goldberg's hit and miss. Like I've seen times where I'm listening to Goldberg, it's like that was great, mm-hmm. you know. And his speech last year after Raw went off air, probably the best. You know, that was my promo of the year.
That was very good.
But sometimes he won't be. So it'll be interesting in this. You know, the Hall of Fame is one of those things where it's like there's enjoyable moments, but it really is like 3 hours of people talking. You know, so I mean, it can be a bit much, but yeah, we'll see.
Joel,
to be honest, it's great, and a lot of these guys, seeing them, certain guys take their spot in Vince McMahon's Hall of Fame is great, and it always yields decent moments every once in a while. But for me, it's there. It's nice. It'll be neat to see some of the guys. It'll be neat to see, to hear what Jeff Jarrett has to say. It'll be neat to hear what.
Interesting one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely a few names that I'm very interested to see how it's handled.
Who was inducting Jarrett again?
Road Dogg.
That's right. That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. They can go to rehab together after.
Yay!
But for me,
they did a segment with him today on .com about him going to SmackDown. Anyways, Joel.
It'll be a nice little moment. It'll be fun, but it's not something I'm going to be going out of my way to watch.
Yeah, for me, I'm very interested about Jarrett. Mark has a soft spot in my heart. I've always been a fan of Mark and the Hall of Pain and everything that did, so I'm excited for that. I'm very excited for the recipient of the Warrior Award this week. Darius, I can't remember his last name, but that kid is really, really sharp, and he's really funny, and I think he'll have a good speech, actually.
Yeah, it'd be great if they would just stop calling it the Warrior Award.
That would be fantastic,
That's all it would take for that award to be fantastic, yeah.
We just can't name it after... We just have to let Snickers sponsor it.
Yeah. Let's get on that.
Yeah. I don't think this is the most standout class of all time, but I think there's some nice possible speeches in here. I don't think this is one that I would personally go to live. I think they try to get the buzz factor getting Jarrett this year, and then Goldberg be the headliner, and still got big ones like Taker and Rock to save in the future.
There's some huge ones out there. I was thinking about it. It's like there's way more than you realize.
Yeah. Taker, Rock, Cena. Who else is there?
Triple H.
Triple H,
NWO as a Vince NWO as they want to do it, DX if they want to do it, right?
Vince would be when he dies. Ever would.
Yeah, Vince won't do it when he's alive. He's already said that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All right. Yeah, there were some others. I couldn't think of it.
Stephanie.
Fuck off. Sorry. Was that out loud?
Well, we know it's going to happen, so. I love how, you know, she's already clinched our Worst Announcer of the Year award.
But has she, though? Like, let's be honest. Is one performance really worth going through and looking at a whole mm-hmm. year?
Did mm-hmm. you hear that performance?
Oh, yeah, I heard that performance. It's terrible, but to me, I was thinking about this. Is she really worth even bringing up in it when she's only...
Oh, yeah. That's why you do the worst segment. It's the Stephanie McMahon hour. Or for Mo, the McMahon hour.
Let's just call it the Stephanie McMahon Award from now on.
There we go. Meltzer renames his awards all the time, so we can do the same.
Yeah. We should call it the Sucky Ducky Quack Quack Stephanie Broadcasting Award.
That guy's awful.
Yeah.
An awful announcer.
Black God Snowman.
God bless
him. Okay, so we go to Saturday. Which event... This is the million-dollar question. What do you want to talk about first, and how the hell is anyone going to watch both these at the same time? Because Joel and I were trying to rack our brains today.
Let's start with Ring of Honor. I think that...
Okay. Do you have the list in front of you?
I do not. I thought the host was supposed to have the list of events.
Oh, I thought that Joel was supposed to have it in front of him.
I agree. I thought Joel was supposed to have it in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
No, well, I heard that about you.
I'll get us started with what I know then.
We got 11 matches on the card for Supercard of Honor. There's definitely more matches that I think we would be more interested in than what we than some of the other ones. But let's go. Do you want to go through the whole card, or do you want to hit on the important matches for us?
Let's just hit on the important matches. But I don't know.
Do you want to talk about? Well, I guess we can start off with the Woman of Honor Championship Tournament.
That's going to be Emma, I think.
Yeah.
Just the name. It's an easy thing to get, right? Like, it's an easy way to get your title recognized. People know who Emma is. I mean, she's Tennille, but I think most people know that her name is Tennille from the YouTube show she did and whatnot. So I would assume, I don't know the three other women in this. Do you, Mo?
Pardon me? I couldn't hear you. I lost you for a second there.
Okay, no worries.
Did you guys hear me?
Yeah.
No, a little bit. So in the Women of Honor tournament, yes. I was saying that Emma would be the favorite. But then I also realized I haven't seen any of the other women ever wrestle, and I couldn't tell you too much about them.
Manny Fleone is probably the favorite, actually.
Okay. Okay.
That's kind of what I think. So because she'll be a babyface, and Tennille Dashwood will, a.k.a. Emma, will probably attack her afterwards and turn heel. Right. So that's kind of my guess on what's going to happen, but
that's not bad. I don't know much on the tournament. I know that that's happening, so it's nice to see, and I think it could definitely be something that could grow for Ring of Honor as long as they let.
I hope so. The Ring of Honor Woman of Honor YouTube channel has been a major success, often getting 200,000 hits for matches.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a huge thing, and that's why they're doing this. But really, the quality of the wrestling is really hit and miss. And a lot of them are their own homegrown talents from the Ring of Honor dojo. But there's also the biggest problem is that they're not as athletic as what you get in the WWE. Like, usually the WWE, if nothing else, the women are very athletic, very good athletes. The performance center, they're in great shape. You know, they get proper diets. That's clearly an issue with some of the Women of Honor. And that actually holds them back as much as anything. Their training is good. Their desire is good. Their athleticism is actually usually what's lacking. Like, Amanda Leone, you'll watch her. Beautiful woman. Really, really cares, you can tell. Is giving it everything she has. Naturally, she's not a good athlete. It's very different.
And I mean, you also suffer from not having a Sarah Del Rey or a Fit Finley, who are just both good producers of women's matches.
For sure, for sure.
Okay.
So, carry on. So now, this is a match that's a little bit on the fringe, but I thought I'd bring it up because I want to get Mo's take on it more than anything, because I'm interested in the one competitor, but Ishii versus Punishment Martinez. I heard Punishment Martinez had a good match. What to expect from this match? What should people expect from these two performers?
Yeah, stylistically, they're a really weird mix. The thing about Ishii kind of doesn't usually sell much. Well, actually, that's not right. Ishii sells late in a match as good as anybody, but his whole thing in the beginning is he's very much that. He's your typical strong style wrestler, right?
Yeah.
I give punishment, I take it, I fight through it, and I give you punishment. And I don't know that he's capable of having another style of match. I've never seen Punishment Martinez trying to have that style of match. Now, Punishment Martinez is like 6'5", 6'6", about 250 pounds, and quite athletic. And he's got good presence and charisma. Actually, no, he's got a good look is probably a better way to put it. He's got a really good look. He's got this great speaking voice, this really deep demonic voice. And then he gets in the ring and somehow all the charisma leaves. So it's a weird thing because he's got everything and then all of a sudden it's gone when he wrestles. So yeah, it'll be a very interesting dynamic. I'm not really sure how it's going to work.
Okay, I was curious because I've heard about Punishment Martinez, but I haven't seen a lot of him, so I was curious what your take on him. I've seen Ishii enough to know exactly what you're going to get from him, and I quite enjoy what you get from Ishii. So
well, and Ishii's 5'8", and this guy's 6'5", and that's another you know, and yet they look like they're like I say, he's probably about 250. I think, you know, he's billed at like 6'8 and 290 or whatever, but he's probably 6'5, 250. I mean, it's wrestling heights. He's like Braun Strowman's probably 6'5, 6'6, and 320, right? Like,
what about
not...
Braun Strowman?
Oh, well, he's at least 6'8, right. At least. And yeah, Brains is, well, he's the Brains of the team. And we'll get there. We'll get there. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Punishment Martinez, I just can't picture him having a strong style match. I'm really curious about that.
Okay. Well, that's something to keep an eye out. I guess going forward to matches that we can all talk about, and the first thing is a ladder match for the ROH World Six-Man Tag Team Championship. SoCal Uncensored, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky versus Flip Gordon and the heavy Young Bucks.
What? Hung Bucks.
That's only if Hangman's around.
I suppose, yeah.
What is this? This is already a match that drew my attention right away. Where do you guys think this match lays? And how the hell is this going to impact being the Elite and all the drama with the Bullet Club?
Well, I think, you know, we'll have to see a lot with what happens with the Cody match, but I wouldn't be shocked if they win this and Flip becomes more, takes Cody's spot. I think that's where we could be going. And it's interesting, too, because Daniels and Kazarian have an interesting storyline in Ring of Honor right now, don't they, Mo? Something about, last time I watched Ring of Honor TV, there was something about the end of the year, their contracts are up and they're going to try to fire them.
Yeah, well, they're not really playing that up anymore, but...
Oh, no? Okay.
It's no, but more, yeah, the SoCal Uncensored. Scorpio Sky's really, really been impressive lately, and he's one of the trainers at the New Japan Dojo, which is along with Shibata. He's the assistant head trainer behind Shibata, and so that's really interesting. Place for Christopher Daniels, of course, is a wonder because the guy's like 47, hasn't slowed down at all, and he takes some serious punishment. I think the biggest, for me, the biggest point about this is like it's a ladder match, and Matt has the back injury that has been part of their storylines for the last couple months in matches, and he's selling. So I think that'll be a huge part of the match.
Yeah,
and that's probably why I don't think they're going to win. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It should be great. I mean, there's no reason to think it won't be great. Will it be the best ladder match of the weekend of the big two? Presuming there's only two in the big two. I don't know. I prefer like 2-3-man teams or like, you know, I prefer that than like your 6-man spot fest.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it should be really good.
Yeah, I do agree. I'm leaning more towards the Bucks winning the title here, but I have this feeling that Flip is a inside man for Cody and is going to eventually flip to
that's
Cody.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I think Flip will get the titles and that'll redeem him in Cody's eyes eventually. And when the really big split happens, because I feel like it's coming sooner rather than later, I think Flip will reveal himself to be a Cody guy. And
yeah, there's so much going on with the Bullet Club, so many different factions kind of splintering.
Yeah.
And I could see Cody needing somebody else besides Hangman Page. He's pissing everybody else off. That's interesting, especially because of course he's going to be in the All-In show as well. So.
Yeah. And I mean the stuff between Flip Gordon and Brandy, the putting milk in your cereal first, asking Kenny what the kiss was like. I think it's all really just a red herring for Flip to help him.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love that.
Joel coming out of left field.
Moving on down the lineup, we've got another match that I think will be really fun. Hangman Page versus Kota Ibushi.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah. Hangman's getting a lot better. Do we see any Joey Ryan in this match? At any point, does Joey Ryan come out in the crowd? Anything Joey Ryan-wise? Are we saving Joey Ryan for All In?
I wonder. I'll say this. Joey Ryan, thank God at least his penis spots aren't banned from the New Orleans Commission. You know,
need that pornplex, man. You need the pornplex.
Yeah, no, his. Yeah, I mean, you can get rid of the pile driver, but I don't want to lose the hammer. And
did you see the spot that him and Cabana did?
I don't think so. No,
Cabana put the pornplex on him, and he did the pornplex to himself.
That's freaking great. See, yeah. that drives Jim Cornette crazy, but I love
it. It drives Cornette. The more we drive Cornette and Russo crazy, the better.
Oh, Russo, what an idiot!
So
sorry.
Who's winning? Who's your picks?
Ibushi.
Yeah, Ibushi definitely wins, but Hangman is one of those guys who, he's within next 2 years. I'd say 2 years from now, he could be either in New Japan or on the Indies, one of the top two or three names.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not one of the top two or three names in New Japan, but yeah, what I'm saying is he's every year you're going to see him get closer to being that Kenny Omega type star. Like he's very good.
Yes, I agree. I think Ibushi wins as well, and there's a reason for it. Now we got two more matches left. This is how I think it's going to play out for Supercard of Honor, how they're going to present the matches. But the next match is for the ROH World Championship. Dalton Castle defends his title against the villain Marty Scurll. Now, going into this match, it's going to be interesting because we had someone call Marty Little Marty on being the Elite. So I'm wondering if Dalton Castle's 109-day reign is up. What do you guys think?
It's been a pretty underwhelming reign, to be honest. I think Dalton kind of reminded me of ROH's Del Rio, where it was like they put the belt on him too late. And so I think that the time is to put it on Kenny because it's more exciting and you can do more exciting things with Kenny having the belt than you can with Dalton.
I didn't know Kenny and Cody was for the title.
I said Dalton.
You said Kenny.
You did say Kenny.
Oh, well, whatever. I meant Dalton.
You meant Marty.
Marty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Marty.
So, yeah. Like I said,
you guys ever hear that story? The Iron Sheik talking about or Marty Jannetty talking about Iron Sheik stories. You ever hear that?
No.
Oh God damn, that's great. I may end the show for you with that.
Sure.
I mean, it's actually terrible, but you know.
But yeah. So, anyways, I think this Dalton Castle thing's been underwhelming, and I think Marty will get the title.
I agree. It's been underwhelming, but I think it's more that they haven't had a good opponent for him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you look at it and, you know, he's defending against, like, first Punishment Martinez and Jay Lethal in a face-versus-face match. And, you know, like, really good matches. But it's especially the Jay Lethal was a terrific match. But it's there's no great heated rivalry. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like Daniel Bryan when he got the belt. They didn't really have anybody for him. You know, like, and I think that's been his biggest problem. Skrull, you definitely can do more interesting stuff. Dalton's over, but Dalton didn't have enough of a chase. Basically, first time he got his real big shot, he won the title. Skrull, I wonder if a chase would work for him, but he's over as a babyface.
You could do something with him and Ospreay also for that title.
Well, depending on whether or not Ospreay's out forever.
Apparently he was cleared.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing about that, you guys saw obviously that spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing about that spot is nobody then talked about what an insane bump it was the Skrull took. Mm-hmm. Like, that flat back bump like that was dangerous as hell and also incredible. Like, just the thing that he did and took for the match to get it over and completely forgotten because Ospreay, you know, missed and cracked his head the way he did. So, yeah, but you're right. I mean, Ospreay, but I think that's the other thing is because he lost to Ospreay, I don't see him losing this as well. You know, like I don't think he's going to lose two title matches between the two companies in a row like this. So I think we're going to see a new champion.
No.
Yeah, I do too.
I think there's a lot of storyline with Marty because you can tell the Cody, you can tell there's a bunch of other guys that you can have Marty face. And
that's the guy that he's been loyal to Cody. He picked, and he says it's because Kenny picked them over him over me. And so now I'm stuck, you know, with this guy. But then at the last event, like for when it looked like it was his advantageous to Skrull, because he is the villain, he was going to turn on Cody until it turned out that, you know, that nobody liked him. Then he, you know, was back with Cody. Like, it's all this stuff. But yeah, I mean, as far as like personalities, like Cody versus Marty would be a big ROH match down the road.
Yeah.
For the belt.
And I honestly think the pop star is going to win. So Marty Skrull is going to sing his way to that championship. And last match, probably one of the top three matches of that weekend. There's been a ton of build. It's been built through a YouTube show, of all things, for wrestling. A YouTube show has built this match. It's been built in two different promotions, and somehow everything works. Everything clicks together. Cody versus Kenny Omega.
Well, I mean, to me, it's just proof you need a lot of writers, and you can't let guys book themselves.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you just can't do it.
No, it's nonsense.
Yeah.
But for real, this is going to be everything that we hoped it would be and wanted to be. And Kenny's proven so far, I think right now, to me, it's between him and Omega right it's between him and Gargano for the wrestler of the year right now.
I'd
agree. See what Gargano does on Saturday. Omega has a slight lead right now. And this is Cody's shine. Cody has been very good outside the ring. He's been fine in the ring. This is Cody's chance to really prove where he can go inside the ring, being with arguably the best wrestler in the world right now.
You know, Cody's had some really good performances, but
yeah,
no matter what, like, he's had some really good matches lately. He's getting better and better still. Mm-hmm. And he's a really good athlete. You know, and he looked, I mean, him and Hangman Page against the Golden Lovers, he looked fantastic in that match. He got his eye cut open and gutted his way through and still did a bunch of really cool moves. So, yeah, it should be. I mean, I think this is actually my most anticipated match of the weekend.
It is it's in my top three. All those three with Gargano, Ciampa, and AJ and Nakamura. It's really hard to decide between those three, but it's a tie between those three. You can't really go wrong with any of those.
No, they'll all be fantastic. But
yeah,
I think as far as an angle, top to bottom, it's been the best angle in wrestling for a long time. And
yeah, I can agree with that.
So I think it is. And I know how good. Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And it's going to be great in front of that crowd, because crowd in Ring of Honor history, right?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I love that Ciampa Gargano build, and we're going to get to that, this has been the best build.
Well, the difference between, you know, Gargano and Ciampa is, like, they figured it out later. But, I mean, the injury kind of slowed it down some. So, yeah. I mean, you can't really compare them. They're so different.
Yeah,
good point. You know, and even when he turned on him, it was a cool moment, but for a while it didn't make any damn sense.
Right. Okay. Make a fair point. Joel?
This program has me very much enthralled. When Cody released his Bullet Club alteration to it in episode 99 for being the Elite came out, the very next chance I had a free minute to watch everything and deep dive on it, I did. This is very high on my list. This is definitely, like Josh said, in the top three. My order keeps juggling around. This may be number one for me, but this may also be number two. It's kind of all over the place. I definitely think Cody needs this win. I think Cody's going to win. That's why I have Ibushi beat Hangman. But I honestly think that there's going to be some sort of treachery, and especially when Cody says, and being the Elite, oh yeah, it's one and done, Bucks. Don't worry about it. We'll be done after this, and everything will go back to normal. That's definitely a sign that we have to wait till All In for everything to go back to the new set of normal. So I think that Cody wins through some deviant, sneaky way, and that I think we're going to finally find out whose side the Bucks are on definitively that Saturday night.
And coincidentally, the next episode of Being the Elite will be 100 when it all comes out.
I mean, it's just going to continue building to All In. And man, it's just really good stuff. I wonder if it will close the show. I mean, I think it should.
Yes.
I think it will. I think it 100% will. It's like you said, it's aside from those other two matches we talked about, it's the most anticipated match this week.
Yeah. And you notice
I don't think it'll be the best, but I do think it's my most anticipated.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be the best either. I think that'll be the one on Saturday night.
I think it'll be the one on Sunday.
I hope it is.
We'll see. We'll see.
I hope it is.
What was I going to say? I look at just everything that's kind of this is a nice little launching pad for even further along down the line. There's a lot of good wrestling, and this is really just an appetizer of what's to come. And moving forward, we still have another show on Saturday. Saturday's not done yet because we have NXT.
Really quickly, just to ask you, Mo, what are you going to watch first? Or are you going to watch them simultaneously? Because this is something Joel and I have gone back and forth about.
Well, I'll be watching it with Addy. It's one weekend his year. He's been given a daddy break as a new father of twins to watch wrestling. So with him, it will have to be. He'll watch ROH, but, I mean, with him, it's going to have to be NXT. So it'll be NXT first. I suspect, actually, I'm not sure how it'll be. I got the Ring of Honor Club membership, so it'll be on demand for me.
Okay.
So easy and convenient to watch that way for me. I think probably the next day when they are, we'll probably be watching that during some of the WrestleMania pre-show and stuff like that is kind of my suspition. Smart. But we'll see how it is. Yeah, we'll kind of see how it goes. I really want to see it so bad. So
I was going to ask you quickly, just how is Honor Club?
I haven't watched anything streaming live yet.
Okay.
I am disappointed with, I thought, you know, they said they were going to be the house shows up. So I guess because they've been building towards this, they haven't had a lot going on. So there hasn't been a lot of events really.
Okay.
So it's kind of too early to judge. Another disappointment is that all the old DVDs that they used to put out, with things like the war against CZW and, you know, the Joe
and
Punk and Joe, all that stuff isn't in there.
It's
just the pay-per-views that they had since they went to pay-per-views over the last few years. So it's just the last few years worth of pay-per-views. And, yeah, all the old DVD stuff is not there. Some shoot interviews, so you can get like a Mick Foley or, you know, a CM Punk shoot interview, stuff like that. And that's kind of interesting. And that's the old DVDs. But as far as like the archive content, it's just the stuff that's the Ring of Honor show now. I don't think stuff before the show they had before is available.
Okay.
So it's really just the you know, episodes of the current show and archived events from really the last like 5 years or, you know, 4 years or so. So will it be worth it? Yeah, it's not a lot of money. And when they start putting in the house shows and you get an event like this, and since, you know, it's like, you know, $50 for a normal event, yeah, it's all right. But I really think that that's the biggest thing is they're not selling those DVDs anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest, like if I say to you, hey, you want to go on, you should get the Ring of Honor membership. Did you ever see the Joe versus Kobashi? Oh yeah, you saw that. Okay, great. Hey, did you see the other night when it was Joe and Loki versus Kobashi, and I can't remember who the other guy was, but it was almost as good and people didn't talk about it though? And you'd probably go no, and I'd be like, well, it's on there, you gotta see it, it's 4¾, if not 4Ⅹ, right? And that's what they're – until they do that, they won't grow it to the right level, I don't think.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's kind of held at least me back, and then we'll get to the NXT card very quickly here. The one thing that's held me back is it's $120 up front. I almost prefer it to be month-to-month. I would gladly pay it month-to-month. But
agreed.
So
you can pay the cheaper option.
Yeah.
There is a cheaper option.
What's the cheaper option?
I believe it's $90, and though it is, yeah, and we're in Canada, and it's American, so I think that's $4,316 Canadian.
Actually, Ron, it's actually $5 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hate it when I
underestimate. The dollar just dropped while you were talking, so it's not your fault.
Oh, yeah? Well,
just the same time the snow fell again.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Did it just fall again? Is it just me?
No, it fell again.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
Yeah.
No, so I mean that is one thing, but yeah, there's the $90 option, and I believe that gives you the live. What is it? You know what? Let's
go to NXT, and I'll give you a chance.
I really don't remember. Guys go to NXT. I'm gonna look that up for us.
Yeah. So we got an NXT card, five matches. I'm not going to go.
Oh, really quickly, by the way, did we pick Kenny and Cody who we thought we were going to win?
I picked Cody, but I don't know if you guys did.
Storyline-wise, I could see Cody just getting his heat back afterwards the next night at the tapings or post-match, but I think it makes a lot of sense to go a lot of sense for Cody to win.
I think Cody's going to win, too.
Yeah. So we got that. NXT, we got five matches. I feel that this is very much a show of quality and not a lot of quantity, but solid quantity up and down. Let's start with the new inaugural NXT North American Championship, which we got to see, which kind of looks old school, kind of looks like a boxing title, kind of looks, has that kind of old feel to it, which I liked. I want to see it up close and personal, but for now, that's going to be defended in a ladder match. And we have got the Velveteen Dream, Lars Sullivan, Killian Dane, Adam Cole, baby, EC3, and Ricochet in a six-man ladder match. What the hell is going to happen in this match?
Oh, trouble is what I think is going to happen. I got EC3 winning it.
I think EC3 is going to win as well. But, I think so. But what's interesting to me is Adam Cole's pulling double duty that night.
I know. Crazy person.
And I imagine this match will go first, but maybe it won't. But no matter what, in one of those matches, we've seen it. He always does one thing that makes you go, what the fuck?
Like Black chair spots.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if he does that in one match, if he does that in the first match, I mean, he's a smart guy. Maybe he won't do it in the – but I don't know, man. If the ladder match is first, I'll be very curious as to what his other one will be like. But, yeah, I do think – I mean, it should be – I mean, what's going to be really interesting is just to see what inventive shit Ricochet pulls out that's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also interesting. They're calling him the one and only Ricochet, by the way.
Pardon me?
They're calling him the one and only Ricochet.
Yeah, and I like it. And, you know, we'll see if they also call him the future of flight still. Yeah. But because that's also a cool nickname. But, yeah, I Ricochet and Velveteen Dream is the direction I hope they go. But I see EC3 winning it.
Why do you see EC3 winning?
Well, I guess it's because the other guys, I feel like, don't need the belt or elevate the belt. Whereas I think he kind of needs the belt to put him in that spot of why he's in NXT. His persona is kind of like the type of person that you launch a belt with.
Yeah.
You know, it's very WWE. It's very much a promo guy, like more of a promo guy than a work guy. And
you can see them saying the first ever North American champion. You can see that saying, like, he seems the right guy to have that.
The one percenter EC3, right? Like, it's just feels right. For what WWE does. By the way, here's the Ring of Honor. So it's the two tiers. The basic tier gives you a 50% discount on the pay-per-views, and it's $99.99 or $10 a month. So you can buy it monthly, but you only get a 50% discount on the pay-per-views. The VIP subscription, which is what I got, that's the one that's $120 annually. And gives you live streaming access to the pay-per-views and access to the pay-per-view archive with no additional costs. So really, unless you want to go the $10 a month, I mean, I don't see any reason to not go VIP because, honestly, I don't think that's a really good deal at all. They're offering the other.
No,
and
that's,
you make a point.
Yeah, that's one of the things that was holding me back because $120 is the right way to go. But it's as you said, just finding out more about it. It's just it's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, it really is
right now. For my pick for North American, I'm gonna go a little off the wall, and I'm gonna say the Velveteen Dream wins, and Ricochet chases him for it.
Okay.
So
that's interesting. It's
crazy. Don't think it's crazy.
I mean, I don't think any of them is crazy, but I'll say my backup guy would be Lars Sullivan.
That's another good one.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. I think the one I can say that we all can, although I love him and I'm super impressed and excited to see him on the main roster, I don't think Killian will be getting it.
No, Killian's not getting it. I don't think Cole's getting it because, you know.
Cole probably could be the main roster by SummerSlam.
Well, yeah, actually, it's going to be really interesting with the rest of, you know, Future Shock or whatever. Not Future Shock, what they called.
Undisputed Era.
Yeah, Undisputed Era, and the injury to Fish. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But you can tell, like, Triple H loves this guy.
Oh yeah. Do you, who, really quickly before we go through all this stuff, who do you guys see as the call ups? I think we can assume Sanity and Iconic Duo would be the some of the most obvious ones, and maybe Authors of Pain.
And almost.
I think Authors of Pain. I think Authors of Pain are a 100% certain. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Sanity, probably, but I think 100% certain Authors of Pain, which is why it's like they where that's a weird one because they don't fit on the same. I don't know if they fit on SmackDown if you have the Bludgeon Brothers with very similar gimmick. Though I guess you could have them going head to head, but also given what they're doing with the title picture at Mania, I don't know that they're fit on Raw either. So, but they got nothing. There's nothing left for them down there.
Yeah. No, I had an original idea that they would, like, if you would have turned Roman, they could be like Roman's bodyguards. But I don't think.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't know that that.
Yeah.
God, I love the idea of Heyman turning on Roman,
mm-hmm.
or turning on Brock, and you know going to heel yeah. Roman.
And then getting this, manager. Getting them, and then maybe getting Joe, and just having all these Samoan enforcers. I think that could be a really cool storyline.
You know, I mean, if Joe's going to be facing Roman, which is the rumor that he's going to be the, true. You know, I mean, die. But yeah, I mean, people want to cheer him anyways. But yeah, I mean, if you want to get you want to make, you know, Roman a huge star, you turn Heyman, and have him screw Brock. You have that match for whenever Brock comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, yeah, I mean, and the heel heat won't last long. That'll finally turn a baby face. Like, that'll finally do it if he's with Heyman.
And lastly, really quick, so it's pretty much all been confirmed that Lashley's been hired. Is there any chance that we see Bobby on Saturday instead of Monday?
I think there's a good chance, yeah.
Okay. Joel?
Yeah.
I think he'll be just Monday.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right. And really, last one quick. Mo, your thoughts on Iconic Duo coming up?
The reason why I think it's possible is because they haven't been really featured much. And that's one of the things they kind of tend to do is not feature somebody and then bring them up so they're kind of fresh. So.
And they went to get some surgery beforehand too. So.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just look at the profile pictures. That's all I'll say. It's the most gentlemanly way I can say it.
So, I thought they had had that surgery already. But hey.
Yeah. Anyways, Joel?
So we got a triple threat tag team title, tag team match for the NXT Tag Team Championships and the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Trophy. We have the Authors of Pain, and we have the ragtag team of Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne stapled together. And we've got the Undisputed Era minus Bobby Fish, and we have Adam Cole, Bebe, and Kyle O'Reilly.
You better do some air guitar on the way to the ring, if not, I'm going to be mad.
I think this will be a fantastic match, and I think the what was it you called them? The Unusual Duo or the Ragtag Duo? I believe Strong and Dunn win the belts here.
I do too.
I think Undisputed retain.
Okay.
So, gotta.
Cool. The good thing about this pay per view is nothing's very predictable on this.
Yeah.
Well, no, I know. That's one of the things that that the main roster is definitely lacking, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. As excited as I am for that card, and we'll get to it. This one, it's like I don't really know who could win any of these matches. Everything's very up in the air.
No. So. It'll be fun. Next is a singles match for the NXT Women's Championship. Ember Moon defends her title against Shayna Baszler. I think this one's a little bit more predictable. I think Shayna finally wins.
Yeah, I think Shayna wins as well.
And I think
Ember could very likely be coming up as well, so.
Yeah, that's why I was going to. I think Ember's coming up. They're going to feed her to Oscar for a little bit again.
I think she'd probably be more on Raw, but we'll see. I think one of the things about her is when I say she's coming up, I don't think she's a Monday or Tuesday debut. I do think it's more like a Bayley, whereas like she stays down there to have a couple more matches with Baszler and lose to her and really put Baszler over and then comes up. But
have many people on the women's side, right? If Ember's coming up and the Iconic Duo's coming up, who and Mandy's up and
dude, they got tons that they've got from that tournament.
I know,
tournament.
Like, who's over right now there?
What's her name? The pirate princess, sort of.
Carrie Sane. Right. So yes, they got Carrie Sane. Okay, there you go.
Sane. And you got that same Baszler feud ready to go anytime.
This is true. Okay, good point.
So, yeah.
So we've got that. Now the two matches. The next match is an unsanctioned match. And
oh boy!
If Gargano wins, he will be reinstated into NXT. If Ciampa wins, Gargano will be banned from NXT forever. It's Johnny Gargano versus an asshole.
The bald-headed fuck. That bald-headed fuck.
Ciampa and Cody Rhodes have one thing in common right now, and they are probably two of, if not the, they're competing for the best villain in wrestling right now.
Yeah, I think, yeah, they are. I think Cody's probably a little ahead. Yeah. He has a little more heat everywhere, but they are. But let me tell you something. I respect Ciampa. I mean, he's going to have that match. It'll be unsanctioned. It'll be great. And then he's teaming with Stephanie to take on Rousey and Angle the next night.
What?
Doesn't Ciampa and Triple H right now look a hell of a lot alike?
I guess I could see it with the beard. Yeah, that's fair.
See,
the beard, the hair, they're both jacked to the goddamn gills.
See, that's what's going to happen. Stephanie's just going to swap Hunter out for Ciampa. That's going to be her thing, and Ciampa will just assume the role of Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Nobody would know any better if he wears stilts.
Yeah, there you go.
Can't we just swap out Stephanie for Ciampa? Please.
I think it'd probably be a match. So this match has been a long time coming. Who the hell wins? I don't know who you have win.
Ciampa.
Well, that's the thing, is I would have Ciampa win, and I think Ciampa is going to win, but obviously, anytime you say, I mean, Gargano's fighting for his career, right? He's got to try and get his job back, which makes you think he's going to win. But also, the weird thing is Gargano coming up? And if he is he going to NXT, or is he going to 205 Live?
He's going to 205.
Or do they see enough in him that they could try and do with him what they'll do with Daniel Bryan and Finn and have him be a small guy who's competing at heavyweight? He's good enough, but I don't think Vince would see it.
No. If Johnny does come on Raw the next night, I don't care if Bobby Lashley comes out the next night, if Ray comes out the next night, if Jeff is back that night, Johnny will get the biggest pop of the night.
To that crowd, I bet he would, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Only
one, maybe Jeff could get bigger, but I don't know.
I'm going to pick differently again. I think Gargano wins, and I think this feud is going to run a little bit longer in NXT.
I do think it's going to run a little bit longer, yeah. I think Ciampa wins, though, still.
I do, too.
Because he's got so much heat. I think you want to keep that heat.
Yeah. I go back to the Cruiserweight Classic when he could have hit him with that knee to finish him.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And he's going to have that chance today to hit that knee and put him out of his misery. And he's going to hit it this time, and then he's going to beat him. Because Johnny beat him in the Cruiserweight Classic.
That's right. And like I say, I mean, if he does do that, or if he cheats, whatever he does, if he wins and keeps Gargano from technically having his job, mm-hmm. storyline-wise, like, yeah, his heat will continue. If Gargano beats him, even if he beats him up afterwards, the heat just it loses something, right?
Yeah. No,
exactly.
I think it's going to be very interesting how they get to the next step, because I do think this program is just starting. It kind of reminds me of Hunter and Michaels. It'll be the unsanctioned match at SummerSlam. I don't think it will run nearly as long as that feud did, but I think this still has more legs that you can run with it.
Cool.
So there's one more match on this card. It is the very much revived, very much career resurgence. Did not think he would be here at this point, but he has risen up. Cien Almas will be defending his NXT championship against the rising star of Aleister Black. What the hell's going to happen?
I think that we're going to see maybe. See, there's two themes I have in this. I propose that maybe we see Drew McIntyre come back into this match and screw over Cien Almas. Or I could just also just see that they just see a lot of money in this guy called Aleister Black, and they like to have that big guy to tour with, and Almas also could be coming up, so they're just going to go with Black and keep it as simple as that.
Yeah, it's really, I don't know. Again, we're talking about people that could come up, and both of these guys could come up.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can continue this feud. One of the things that you have to remember is it was only because Lars Sullivan, you know, had to miss some action that Aleister Black's in this position. It was going to be Sullivan versus Almas. So, again, that's a really kind of, I don't know if, I don't feel like they're going to take the belt off Almas right now.
Okay.
I just don't think that they are. So I think he's going to stay down there for a while just because I feel like NXT lost a little momentum, and with all the people they brought up, they definitely lost some momentum when they lost Nakamura because he was really a big draw for them.
Yeah, and it seems like they're just getting back on their feet right now.
Yeah, it just feels like they're just getting back on their feet, and he's a big part of that. And so I think they're going to kind of leave that down there. And I also think him and Gargano, I'm not sure that story's 100% done. I feel like they're not going to completely, whatever their call-ups are, if it's guys like Authors of Pain or Sanity, it's guys that will be good on the roster, but it's not guys that are necessarily going to really,
miss.
You know, gut. Yeah, it's not going to gut NXT, I don't think. The way that we saw with Rude coming up and Nakamura coming up and all that stuff, you know, last year, I think it really hurt them. It was so much at once. So, yeah, I mean, again, you know, yeah, like Authors of Pain and, you know, the Iconic Duo, that's not going to kill them. They could probably lose one of these two, and maybe Black will come up. I think Black will come up, so I think he's going to lose.
I think Black will come up.
I think Black will come up. Yeah, I think they're going to let – I you know what? It's not – it's – what's her name? Selena, the
Almas.
His manager. What's – how do you pronounce this? Selena
– Selena Vega. Whatever.
Selena Vega, yeah. It's probably her they want more up than anything. Like, she's definitely...
Yeah! She's fucking awesome.
She's great. She's got a lot of charisma, and she plays her role great, and they're terrific together. And so, I mean, if he does come up, I think it'll be... A lot of that will be that they want to get her on the main roster.
Vince is just drooling for it.
Yes.
You're going to do a storyline with me, sweetheart.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's drooling from her, and he's got a boner from Keith Lee. You guys saw that Messenger thing? I saw that was a real comic panel. Did you see that one?
No.
I saw it.
Great, isn't it?
Having said all that, I think that Aleister Black is winning the title.
I do as well. Black is my pick.
I think Almas is going up.
We'll see. Well, see, I don't think Almas is going up until the...
And I don't even know...
I wait until the Drew... Whatever happens with Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
And I don't think Drew's back for a while still.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could play out on the main roster. But, yeah, I'm expecting that to be an NXT thing still.
Depends what they want to do with Aleister Black, too, because do you want to throw him into something with Finn right away?
That would be cool. God,
yeah.
That would be so cool. I mean, I see him more on SmackDown because I think that character is there's nobody on that SmackDown with that type of character. Whereas there's already a couple kind of people in that universe on. But I mean, and we also don't know what Bray's new character is going to be, right?
Yeah, we just know that he got to New Orleans today with Strowman.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that doesn't mean much. Yeah.
No, they're travel buddies in the first spot. So
yeah.
So
that's. That's interesting.
So that's NXT TakeOver Orlando, New Orleans.
And God. Now for the 35-hour show, Mo.
Seven hours.
It was.
Tokyo Dome was too long. I even said that to you.
Yes, you did.
After.
Oh, I did too. I was just bugging you.
Seven hours is a long ass time.
Not going to be the same quality.
I have quite a few casual fans coming to my house, and they're like, "So what time does the show start?" I'm like, "Well, 3. Well, what time does the show end at? Well, 10.
October 10th. I think you're right.
What do you mean? I'm like, we're just going to get a lot of food and drink a lot. Have you seen the drinking game, by the way, Mo?
What is it?
I'm going to tell you the drinking game really quick, and we've all agreed. I know Joe won't drink because Joe doesn't really drink, but. So this is the WrestleMania drinking game before we preview WrestleMania. So drink once every time there's pyro, and there's been confirmed there will be pyro back. So every time there's pyro, you got to take a drink. Mm-hmm. Every time the network is mentioned, got to take a drink. Every suplex, got to take a drink. Every Superman punch, got to take a drink. If there's a musical performance, got to take a drink. And that includes if Elias does one. And then you got to drink twice if Undertaker returns. And then you also got to drink if they say momentum.
We used to, me and Addy had one years ago. It was every time that Coach or Cole doesn't know a move, we take a drink.
Oh,
we got
God.
Fucking hammered.
Poor Joel is just going to be sitting there nice and humble, and we're just going to be like, what?
We were like, hammered.
Yeah, that's going to be us by the end of the show.
I'll leave before the main event happens. I'll just be at home watching it, and you guys won't have a clue that I laughed.
All right, so let's get it started.
So, Mania.
We're going to, really quickly, by the way, we're going to be doing, for the first time ever, Joel and I have a championship belt, Mo, that we do for the best of the pay-per-views, and we haven't really put it on the line lately. I had been the champion for the past 2 years, but we're going to put that title as vacant. We're going to rebrand it. This is the brand new one-fall belt. We're going to have everyone that's watching this week here, and you right now, and the winner with the best record will be crowned the one-fall pay-per-view champion.
Okay, so what are the rules of this thing?
Just got to get the most wins right. That's it.
So
you don't have to pick this. You don't have to pick how the win happens.
No, because we got too many casuals this week.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's start this
and
off.
And it's just for Mania.
The one thing we will say that we do is you have to pick the number of suplexes Brock does. But when we get there, we'll talk about it then.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So starting it off, I want to start it off a little differently because I'd like to talk about the elephant in the room before we get to it. And is my question to you guys, is Cena just going to be a fan watching WrestleMania, or are they going to have a match?
Fuck this fucking build.
So, because one of the things that had come out today was they weren't...
From your lips to God's ears.
Shit.
There's apparently a rumor floating around online, and this hasn't been rubber stamped of approval from guys like Meltzer or Pollock, but apparently this is building to a match down the line. This isn't building towards a match at WrestleMania. Is this the worst
even dumber. That's even dumber.
Is this the worst build heading into WrestleMania in history?
This year in history. Because I've seen a lot of shitty builds.
Well, there was a build over Japanese shampoo, so.
But that was funny.
Yeah.
We still got a match at that.
The best was the sign. There was literally a sign that said, "This match is over shampoo."
That was awesome. I thought that, when I think of the worst build, there's so many bad ones. But man, that CM Punk Undertaker build.
Oh,
over bad. To the crowd, the build. Good Lord, was that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But man,
I'm not excited for. I don't care.
The psychology of this thing from the beginning has been so poor, and that's probably my main issue with so much of the stuff that I'm having an issue with is the psychology being either bad to fair only. It's never great. And the psychology of this, like even little things, like him pointing out, if you're not going to come back, then why are you working out on your wife's Twitter? You don't talk about the Undertaker's wife. The Undertaker's character doesn't have a wife.
Unless he's the American Badass, I guess.
Yeah, but that's so long ago. Most people don't remember or think about that, right? Like, let people have their little things like that. I'm like, that's just shitty. Like, you're missing the point. And it's been that since the beginning. I don't know. What is John Cena just going to... Somebody's... It doesn't sound like Elias is in the He's not. He isn't scheduled for a match, and he
doesn't. No, Elias is doing something with The Rock, apparently. The rumor segment is Jarrett. So is Michael Hayes, Jarrett, Jillian, and then The Rock comes out. That's okay, the rumor that's segment.
I also hope that Adrian English comes out.
Yes, that would be nice too.
Yeah, but that does make sense. I mean, the two guys that Elias should have an interaction with are either The Rock or Jericho, right?
And Jericho's Jericho's not there, though, no.
Yeah, but Cena just...
I mean, I like the promo
enter
yesterday.
The Royal Rumble. The logic behind why he wouldn't enter the Royal Rumble is so shitty. Like, all of it's
the Battle
just
Royal?
So shitty. Or the Battle... Yeah, the Royal Rumble. Battle
I
Royals.
Don't want to take a chance away from Primo Colon. He's worked so hard, damn it!
Yeah, I don't want to take a chance away from... Fandango. Yeah, like...
Although he has had a good year. Fandango did have a good year, in all fairness, for him. But yeah,
Titus O'Neil. You know, taken from Hawkins, who never wins. From Keith Slater or Rhino. No, you don't want to take a chance. Are you kidding me? You've got to do something, but it may not be a match.
But here's the thing, is no matter what, you're taking up time at WrestleMania that could be given to a match. So you're still taking up a moment at WrestleMania for your own...
Well, here's the thing. You probably haven't heard this yet, but it's 7 fucking hours.
Yeah.
Like, why do I give a fuck about a stare down? It's WrestleMania. Either have a match or don't. I don't need to see a stare down.
No, but that's the thing, right? And I'll be saying this. Like, I hated the idea of this match because it was 6 years too late. Mm-hmm. And because Undertaker's exit last year meant something. And you're going to...
Well, his match was shit. Exit was good.
Well, the match was shit. The exit, the you know, leaving everything in the ring, all that stuff, and then they literally didn't touch it while they tore down the rest of the stadium for hours and mm-hmm. all this stuff. Like you're gonna just ruin that, and that moment will be ruined, and you can't have another one. But if you do have the match at a SummerSlam, you can say he never retired. He just retired from WrestleMania, and I don't think people will mind that. Like people like me, a lot of people obviously don't mind it. They just want to see the match. But it is 6 years too late because now I'm like, well, if Undertaker wins, it'll mean nothing. And if Taker or Cena wins, it doesn't really mean anything. But
will Cena be at SummerSlam?
6 years ago. Like 6 years ago, that would have meant something.
Do we know when Cena's doing Duke Nukem?
No, I have no idea.
And we got to wonder now if he's getting the insurance policy. He's like, The Rock is getting. Like, is that a thing that's going to happen?
I don't think, from what I understand, I could be wrong, but what I understand is that he's still, because he's still under WWE contract, unlike The Rock there. Mm. So The Rock is like to the movie studio first.
Right.
Whereas the movie studio has to make him available for certain dates and events still.
Right.
And they're going to be very forgiving, but something like SummerSlam, I think is a good chance he'll be there.
Okay.
All right. Well, so there it is. I think it's just it's insulting. It's just insulting.
And shitty.
Yeah. It's not been good. It's not been good. Like even the idea of like just having some casual fans today. So they're like literally like, so Cena just going to come out and then Taker's going to come out? Like are they actually not promoting the Undertaker? He's like, because what if there is casual Cena fans that just want to see John Cena, and if you tell them, does John Cena have a match? And you're like, well, kind of, but I don't know. Like, they have enough promotion for the show with Daniel Bryan and Rousey to get the casual fans, but getting John Cena when he has a comedy coming out this week that's apparently going to do at least $35 million, he's a draw, and The Undertaker's a draw too. So not having that draw to promote, I don't know how much it's going to hurt the buy rate, but it's not going to help it. And that's, I think, why they're trying to be like, well, he'll be there. We can't tell you what he's going to do.
No, I mean, he's going to be – I mean, if at this point he's in anything but the audience, it's going to be stupid. Yeah. Right? Like, if he just comes out, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, we'll be waiting for him to come up, waiting for Undertaker to come out, waiting for Joel to come out for a while.
He better just be in the crowd the entire match, just eating popcorn with Nikki. And I would be all about that. That'd be fun.
She's a hell of a beard if he's going to come out, I must admit.
Mm-hmm. 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 Joel?
So we had to... you hate me, don't you?
I'm just going to sidestep that whole thing. I'm focusing on wrestling. Neither personality on this podcast matters. It's just all talking about wrestling and rebuttaling towards... this build, I don't care. Undertaker comes out, great, I don't care. Cena comes out, they both wrestle, I don't care. Like, last year, like Mo said, last year was, to me, the retirement of The Undertaker. I think it's best to have just left it alone because you saw the state of The Undertaker in that ring with Roman. You just saw how he moved, how he operated. It's not The Undertaker of old. I just was watching WrestleMania 27 where he and Hunter had a match. And just the way Taker moved is... And even that was a point where I think Undertaker was very slowly slowing down a little bit. And I think...
Well, he is supposed to be in better shape. That's one thing they are saying, that he's healthier this year than he was the last 2 years.
I just don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's really hard to... And Undertaker being one of my favorite guys, it's really just... I'd much rather him go out last year and be done with it than him come out this year and it just be another crapshoot.
That battle, the Royal Rumble, like, he was rough in too, though, hey?
Yeah.
No, it felt, last year it felt like time. Like, it really did.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I wonder how much of this is Taker just not being able to let go, and I wonder how much of this is Vince going, God damn it, pal, I need you.
I don't think they need him this year with all the other stuff they have going on. I'm not sure it's that. I think it probably is more him. Remember why Brock beat him in the first place. Vince thought that he was never going to wrestle again after that one.
Uh-huh.
How many? That's, you know, years ago now. So
4 years ago?
Yeah.
So we've talked about that.
I'm sure he doesn't want to go out, though, on a shitty match like that one was.
No. That's why I think it's the pride of... That last run there with the Royal Rumble was not good, and then the WrestleMania match was not good. And knowing Taker, having those five-star matches, at least Cena can get a better match out of him than Roman can. I'll say that much. It's not going to be what the Strong matches were, or the Punk match was, or the Hunter match, but Cena can get a better match out of him than what Roman did.
I don't know about that.
I don't either.
I mean, Cena has taken a step back. I will say that.
Yeah, so you got...
Cena's always being from the beginning. Like, he's smoke and mirrors. Like, even in the ring, his matches are good because he's allowed to do stuff psychology-wise that they don't let anybody else do. Like, I don't know.
Nah.
We'll find out. I guess we're not going to put this towards the belt, but... If people had, if everyone had a guess here, do you think there's a match, Mo?
God damn it. No.
Okay, Joel?
No.
I'll just be the odd man out and say yes.
All right.
I just can't imagine John Cena not wrestling at WrestleMania. I just can't imagine your...
I could see him wrestling. It just doesn't have to be. It could literally be Bray Wyatt. You know what I mean? Like, it could be anybody and anything. Remember the Rock technically had a wrestling match at WrestleMania a couple of years ago against Eric Rowe
Eric Rowan. Yeah.
So it could be anything.
Once in a lifetime.
Maybe you can face Mordecai.
Pardon me?
You can face Mordecai. Or Kevin Mordecai? Or Kevin Thorne,
yeah, either one.
All right, let's get to this main show, because this podcast is going to be 7 hours at this rate.
Let's go through the battle royals, because those are the two that I think matter the least. And let's start with Andre. Who's winning from this mishmash of mid cards?
From who's listed, I'm going to say Baron Corbin.
I don't think they'll give it to him again. I'm going to predict Curt Hawkins.
I love it.
I'm going to predict that he this is where he breaks the Owen whatever. Because you have to admit, at least if they put him down to the last two or three people, and it's like Corbin and Raleigh and him, the crowd would be going crazy.
My only problem with that is that the doc comes out 3 days later, and they may want to put someone that matters.
I don't think that's a huge deal.
We'll see. That's why I go with Corbin, because it's someone they still semi want to push,
and they got the Doc, and they have another Giant. I could also see Big Show coming back and winning it as well.
Possible.
Yeah. Because he just signed a new contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I think he might be Strowman's partner, too. Like him.
Yeah, I can see that as well.
He's one of the... Him, Cass, and Wyatt are probably the big three.
Cass. Joel?
Funny you mentioned Cass, because I think he's probably going to... I think they'll slot him in the Andre, and I think he'll win there.
Fine with me. Just don't let him be Braun's guy.
Yeah. The other Battle Royal is the Women's Battle Royal. No longer the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal. It's just the Women's Battle Royal. Fame.
It'll always be the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal to me, damn it.
It should be the Birth of Faye Battle Royal. No? Okay, I'll shut up.
The Ronda Singh Battle Royal? Oh, wait, you were finally shutting up. I shouldn't.
Proceed.
Who wins? This is the part that I least care about.
I'm going to say I would love Becky to win this because I really think Becky needs to get something, but it's going to be either Bayley or Sasha. So really flip a coin, and I'll say Sasha.
Yeah, I think Sasha will win through some cheating way, and that'll just complete, unless you want Bayley to cheat to win and kind of have her do the heel turn. It's one or the other.
Mm-hmm. This pisses me off because, honestly, it's been maybe the best build they've had is the match between the two of them at WrestleMania.
I know.
And it's not happening.
I know
how great their matches one-on-one have been when they've been given time in the past. And it would have been probably my second or third most anticipated match on the show. And it's not happening.
Isn't that something?
I could very well see, much like a Baron Corbin showed up from NXT and won it, I could see something like that happen. I think what you'll see is kind of late in the match, I think you'll see Bayley and Sasha eliminate each other, and I'll get down to, say, the iconic duo, both against Becky, and one of them wins it. Peyton Royce.
I could see the iconic duo face off against the Bellas if you're going to bring up people going against each other.
Possibly, too, yeah.
Yeah. I will stay with Sasha, but I think that's a good pick. Joel, who did you pick?
It's either going to be Sasha or Bayley.
Okay. Cruiserweight time?
Cruiserweight.
Sweet.
Ali versus Alexander. Vacant title. They've had 205 Live has had a nice resurgence. Who moves forward? Who's the face of the brand moving forward? Because I think it's going to be Ali that wins.
Neither. Neville comes down and fucks both of them up.
Well, I wish.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Cedric.
I'm going to go with Ali.
Okay.
So we've got the remaining 10 matches. Let's start with the tag team triple threat. It was rumored to be a TLC, but that hasn't been formally announced. So right now it's just a triple threat tag team match. The Usos versus the New Day versus the Bludgeon Brothers. This where the Bludgeon Brothers finally crack to the next level, and they win the titles.
I got the Usos retaining, and then going to I got the Usos retaining.
The Usos retaining?
The Usos. Oh God, the Usos. One's enough.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, why would you want to do that to anybody? Yeah, I think. I get a funny feeling also that the Usos are going to retain, though. The storyline 100% should be the Bludgeon Brothers, but we'll see. I do think this has a chance to be this could even be the best match on the show. Nevertheless, the second or third best match. I expect it to be very good.
Yeah. These teams all work good together, and you brought this up on a podcast prior when Roman and Harper worked with the Usos when they were both their original gimmicks and how well that match was by itself. So really at great. A New Day, it's going to be fantastic. I think this starts the show too.
I think the men's battle royal, or you mean the main show?
The main show, not the kickoff.
Yeah, that's right, because they've never been on the show before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think it probably starts off the show as well.
Okay, what's next, Joel?
So next is Cesaro and Sheamus versus Braun Strowman and TBD.
So I guess, do we guess the partner, or we're just going to go with the winner?
Just the winner, because picking the partner can be is trying to crawl into Vince McMahon's head, and that can be scary.
Well, how about we pick the winner, but then pick who you think the partner is going to be? So, Joel,
I think the partner will be James Ellsworth, and I think that the bar retains.
Okay, Mo.
I think Strowman wins. I think that they have killed that division, and they've made it clear that he doesn't need a partner, so I don't care so much. And I wish I cared more about the match. I don't care that much about the match. I said before, the death will be when they turn him babyface and starts to become a comedy character, and the seeds are planted, and it's going to get worse. He's going to become the Great Khali. Just you wait. And I say his partner will be Big Show.
I'm going to go with the bar, and I think his partner is going to be... I want it to be Samoa Joe, badly.
I do, too. I would love that.
Just because I want him to have a Mania moment, because he's earned it in his career, and it's a
I know, because he's going to... This will be the second year in a row where he's healthy and held off the show. And the guy's going to miss it. He's missing. You know, how many chances is he going to get?
He reminds me kind of Edge early in Edge's career, only the thing is he's not young like Edge.
I know.
So I really would hope it's Joe, because apparently he's healthy now, and I want him to get his moment.
But he's going to he'll be a Raw attack, you know, Roman to go off the air and set up the next feud. That's,
So I'm going to go with surprise and say it's Wyatt, and I still do think the bar is going to win, though. Yeah. Next up
is The Miz defending his Intercontinental title against Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. Or Prince Nevitt.
Do we get the Demon?
No.
Mo?
I think we get the Demon.
So do I.
And I think that's why Finn wins.
Yeah, then I agree exactly with that.
I wish I cared again a little more. I think the one thing that bothers me here is him losing to Rollins was bad booking. I just want to compare it to New Japan. In that situation, instead of even Steven booking, they would have had Finn win, and the storyline would have been Rollins can never beat this guy, and he's had a bunch of chances to build to that big match where he feels the pressure to do it, and people care, instead of just the even Steven booking. And that's the shitty booking that is WWE and the lack of psychology. So long-term thinking is storyline-wise. But I think he wins. I think Finn wins, and I think, we get the new. Though Miz could very well retain that because of that stupid-ass TV show.
He can come back. Oh, the TV show. But I think it's not that you're going to say talk about the streak, because the streak you can do whenever. That's not a continuous streak, right?
No, it's more the TV show.
Yeah.
But I'll go with going with Finn, and I'm going with Demon.
Joel?
I'm going with Miz. Miz retains, and no Demon.
Okay, what's next?
So next is the U.S. title. It is Jinder Mahal, Bobby Roode facing champion Randy Orton, added with a little mix of Rusev Day in it.
You can go first, Joel.
I think Ruru wins. Ruru finally gets his moment.
Mo?
Yeah, I think Rusev wins because he's over and it's time to turn babyface, and god damn it. The other guys don't feel like they have any momentum. It'd be stupid not to give it to him.
You know it's going to be then stupider? Again,
he also won tonight, so that's a good reason to think he won't.
I have Jinder winning. And I'm not happy about it, but I have Jinder winning.
That's unfortunately very possible.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you guys want to talk about with this one? Or this one's just kind of wah-wah?
Yeah.
It
should be a fine match. Could be one of Randy's last WrestleMania matches.
Could be. You know what, though? The multi-person matches at WrestleMania are getting out of goddamn hand.
That's a guy, by the way, I don't want to go into too much of a tangent. I talked to Joel about this. That's a guy I would really love to just see leave WWE and just see what he could do outside of it. Because I think with the handcuffs off of Randy, and I think he's still young enough to still do some stuff, I would like to see what he could do outside of the WWE confines. He's never really been able to do that.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
No.
But the idea of it happening is, it's intriguing. It would be again, if I mean, that would be the type of thing that's like inches the independents that much closer to being true competition. Because it's almost like it used to be, you know, you're going to get like a company that's going to be the competition. And now it's like, no, that's not going to happen. You're going to get like the whole of independents and New Japan. Like all of them is like one not unified but still existing outside force are the competition.
Exactly.
I think I think we can kind of move along here because that's the end of. I think Orton on the Indies would be nice, but I don't think it'll ever happen. I think he's shown that he quite likes his family. He seems very happy with them. So,
dude, he's super well paid.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. So
I just think Randy at this point, I just see what Cody can do, and I see all these other guys, and I'm like, you know. Randy Orton, I really think, is in a position where it's fine where he is in the card. It's just he's such a great talent, and he can still really go. And I just don't think they've ever been able to really use him to his ability in the wrestling ring.
He's hungry anymore.
The problem, too, which I was going to say.
Yeah, the reason why Cody made it and is he was goddamn hungry. He was like, I'm underused. I'm underappreciated. I'm out of here. I'm going to prove it to you guys. And he has. And Randy's not hungry. He has no reason to be hungry.
Good point.
Yeah. So, shifting along, next match is the NXT Raw Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax. Does Bliss retain?
Well, if she doesn't, it's almost as bad as Booker losing to Hunter. Because she was bullied and called fat, and then she loses, but... Mo, what do you think?
Yeah, I think... I suppose if Mickie James gets involved, but... Yeah, I think it's got to be... Here's my prediction, is that Nia Jax wins. Carmella cashes in because we have Asuka going over to the other brand. Right? Now, so you need to trade somebody over to Raw. So I predict Carmella cashes in on Nia. Because that way you can finish the Nia Alexis Bliss thing. I wish I cared more. They fucked this up so many months ago, and instead of being about the title, it's about, you know, this feud, and it's just kind of silly to me. Too bad it's just good performances, but I really don't care so much. But yeah, that's my prediction.
I really like that prediction. I had not thought about that. I won't steal it. I'll let you keep it. I have Nia winning though. Also,
yeah. Nia Carmelo catches it. Book it.
I think that's really smart, but is WWE smart enough to do it? We'll see.
Well, there is that.
I think that Nia does win. I think that's the smart way to go.
If not, it's pretty bad that she called her best friend fat, and then she beat her.
Yeah.
But we saw this happen with Booker and Hunter to a smaller degree with racism. So see if
racism pays off again. It's true. Racism isn't nearly as offensive as fat.
No.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be another check mark for the WWE.
So carrying along here, we've got
be a star.
This is kind of getting to the some of the bigger matches that we've got. This is really the meat and potatoes of this show. And we'll start off with the women's match. Charlotte Flair versus Asuka, the streak versus Ric Flair's daughter.
Charlotte.
I wish they had... No, Charlotte. Come on, Asuka's not losing until they get the match against Rousey now.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the problem. Who won the mixed match challenge, by the way? Sorry to interrupt there, Mo, but I was just curious if you guys knew yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I presume she had to, right?
Yeah.
Asuka had to win it? Did she
win it? I'm assuming Miz pinned Roode would be my assumption.
That I don't know.
Anyway, sorry. What were you saying?
Yeah, I this would have been like my... This might be my third most anticipated match because I really want them to have a 4-star match, like so badly. I think they're capable if they're given the time to, but I don't know if they will be able to. Like, so I really am cheering for them to have the great match. Asuka's pretty over and Flair's daughter, right? But yeah, like I that's the problem, is that you pretty much know Asuka's going to win until they get that Rousey match. So
yeah, I wish Natty was a bigger star too, because I think Natty and Asuka is the best match in the company.
Yeah, it should be fantastic. It'll still happen, I think.
Yeah, it's just that's the other thing is should be.
They haven't, and again, I want to see a dominant champion who knocked off Alexa Bliss at Night of Champions, defeated all of the Riot Squad, went through Natty, is hot as hell defending it, this woman who won the Women's Royal Rumble, undefeated in NXT, ran through Raw, and now is there. I want that John Jones, Daniel Cormier, both of these guys are great. And instead, they haven't booked Charlotte Strong at all.
No, especially with what happened tonight. Asuka, gotta give Asuka credit, her English has really improved. Her and Nakamura have done a really good job of getting their English a lot better.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I have Asuka as well. I'd love to say there would be a twist to it, but I think we all know what's going to happen to Mania 35 with Ronda and Asuka. So for that,
it could be SummerSlam, but...
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah, it could
but
be.
Yeah, regardless, until we get that match, Asuka's not losing.
No.
I think it'll be a good match, but I think Asuka ultimately wins.
Yeah. That's why I do think there's a small chance that Bliss could win, just because we're coming up to some things that are a little bit more predictable. Well, they're going to be good matches. They're a little bit more predictable, and the Alexa thing could be the one swerve that nobody really saw coming.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Carrying along, we got the match that Mo is the most excited about. This is what I just keep getting messages from Mo that this is the match he's counting down the minutes to. Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon in a mixed tag match.
Mo, take it away.
I just don't ever need to see Triple H wrestle again. And I really never needed to see, and really don't need to see, Stephanie Russell, or even be on TV. And the fact that this match is about her more than anybody really pisses me off. I've had enough McMahons, and I certainly don't need any more of her being the focus of the company. And if the psychology of this is so, I should care about this, but I don't. And Kurt Angle was gone for a dozen years. This is his third match since he's back, and he hasn't had a one-on-one match where he's the focus yet. A Survivor Series match, a three-man match, and then this, where he's clearly second. He's the fourth most important person in the match. The psychology should be Stephanie is scared to death of this woman. And this woman wants to get to her, but never can get to her. And finally, they're going to have this match, and she's going to get to her. And you're going to cheer it. Instead, Stephanie's supposed to be some badass. I don't fucking buy it. She's a 40-year-old woman who's wrestled six matches in her life. Sure, she's all roided up, just like her husband. I don't care.
Hey, they have a personal trainer, damn it.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're roided up personal trainer tough. It's the psychology more than anything, though. She's the badass. She's not afraid of Ron. No, man. It should be that she's she's going to rip my arm off. I don't want to get, hiding me. She should be playing chicken shit heel. And Hunter should be, I'm going to beat Angle so that you don't have to face her. And he should be building her up no, you can do this. Here's a couple moves. But really, they both know that if Rousey ever gets her hands on her, she's going to kill her. And the crowd is just waiting for it. And you tease it. And instead, no, they just can't. They need to build this woman up like she's friggin' the other Asuka. I hate it. I hate the psychology of this. I hate the first angle was good. The video package of Rousey, that's why she was a star. That one with her sitting beside Angle, that was so spectacular, so great. She was so compelling. And then this is your chance to give her and somebody who matters a rub, somebody you want to build the company around. But I guess they want to build the company around the 40-year-old executive. I am sorry. I don't like this at all. One good angle in the middle of it and one good promo package mean nothing. The psychology is shit. I don't want to see two of the people in the match ever wrestle. This is a total killer for me.
I think the thing is for this, and I don't disagree with anything you've said, Mo. I think all the video packs have been good. I even did like the Hunter and Steph one. I just like the way it was shot. Maybe not some of the things they said. I like the way that it was produced and shot.
It was well produced, yeah.
This match isn't for us. This is for the casual fans.
Bullshit.
And, it could be used a lot better because Ronda is supposed to be the next big thing. No pun intended, stealing that from Brock. But she's supposed to be the next big star. And it would be nice if she was treated like the next big star and she had someone like a Natalya or a Becky Lynch or a Sasha Banks to face off against.
Well, you put her against a Becky Lynch. Even when Becky Lynch loses, if you can choreograph a good match, which you can, Becky Lynch is now a bigger star going forward. Nobody gets the rub out of this except for Stephanie, and that means nothing. And I don't want to see Stephanie versus, Rousey, Austin versus McMahon, 2.0, more like 50.0, because I've seen that a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Like I said, you say it's for the casual fans. I think that's bullshit. The casual fans are showing up anyways.
Yes,
the casual fans aren't showing up because of Stephanie.
Of Stephanie. They're showing up because, I guess my thing is, well, number one, there's fans that aren't just intrigued because they hear that McMahon name and they're drawn because of the Attitude Era with Stephanie that like her. And you may not like
Dude,
him,
it's
and Joe may not like
20
him.
Years ago, that
but it's
means
unbelievable
so much
how many casual fans I know. Triple H is their favorite wrestler, and you may not like him. Joe may not like him, but the amount of people I've talked to, the Triple H is their favorite wrestler.
It doesn't even matter if he's their favorite wrestler. There has to be a point where you put the ball in the hands of the next generation.
There should be, but
there has to be.
I'm not saying this is the right build, and I'm not saying this is the right people. It's not. I would prefer, like they said, this to be Becky, or this to be Ty Dillinger somehow in this. Sonya Deville would have been a perfect opponent, too. You could have talked about the two MMA trainings, and they've already thrown that away.
If it was Stephanie has a shooter in there for her,
like
and
Sonya.
If they lose, yeah, and if they lose, or even if she was like she's scared shitless, like I say, if they lose, she gets 5 minutes alone with Stephanie or whatever, or like that's a classic, angle.
Kind of like the Mickey Rourke stuff at Jericho. Yeah.
Or if they lose, or she's out there and she's scared to death of them, but all of Absolution is now going to be Angle made the match, but they write the rules, and all of them are going to be in her corner with her. Or outside the ring as the special enforcers, and they're under like some sort of psychology, and she's the chicken shit heel. Like I say, there would be nothing wrong with this then. Like it still wouldn't be my ideal way to do it, but this way,
I will say this, and then we should get Joel to talk in. I was
not sure about that part.
I was okay with this whatever. When they had the press conference, I thought that complete segment wasn't great, and. When they did the face-to-face, the fact that she did not cower to her, that pissed me off. That pissed me off because she should have cowered to her because she was going to break her arm. And she should have cowered to her.
Instead, it was
I'm a badass.
Which hand are you right or left-handed? Good line. Everybody cheered. Yeah. And Stephanie just sneered. Yeah. It should have been, oh, fuck, I'm going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken shit heel. Just like fucking... Vince was chicken shit heel to Austin.
Every time. Cornette. I mean, I look at Cornette, the stuff he did
Cornette
with the Road Warriors, right?
Heel? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like they always want to get... And that was like the thing, right? Was, okay, Cornette's going to be trapped in a cage above the ring, and he can't interfere. And if his man loses, then the baby face gets him alone 5 minutes in the ring and gets to beat the shit out of him. And the crowd
or Bobby Heenan with the weasel costume.
Yes.
There's so many examples, but Joel, I really should let you talk, so go ahead, buddy.
Really?
Yeah.
I make this really simple. It's nepotism at its finest. That's why one half is here. I'm not in favor of Kurt Angle being in the match either. The guy can't turn his head side to side. He has to turn his whole body. But we're getting it. Ronda's gonna win. I don't really see this being a hook.
Stephanie's gonna get her heat back the next night, so it means nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's no. This isn't gonna drive Stephanie away like the table last year. I just don't care. Like, and you watch those video packages, they're all nice and shiny, but when you actually unwrap them and look at what substance they have, it's nothing special. It's Hunter should be in power, and Stephanie should be scared, and never once was Stephanie scared, and that's something that pointed out right away. Stephanie's like, yeah, I'm training, and I'm all tough and great.
There's nothing you can do. They can say, oh, it's our, we know the rules, because they're so complicated to figure out. We know the rules, and I grew up in this business, and nothing you do makes me ever think that she has a chance against her. So give me somebody who, within the worked world of wrestling, I feel like has a chance against her.
What the fuck does repackage mean? What the fuck does repackage mean?
I don't know.
Like, it's just like, it's an insider term for the sake of an insider term.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
And I mean, the other big thing is, so you've got this whole thing going, and Ronda's probably going to win, and
but what does the win mean? There's nothing to it.
It's just her first win. That's all it is. Yeah, it's her first win.
Yeah.
It means nothing.
You could add so much more with Ronda's first moment, and this will be Ronda's first moment, and I just don't care. And to be honest, I think when casual fans see this, I think that they're going to be turned off by it, because they're going to see...
Well, Ronda's been sloppy too, right, Joel?
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Ronda definitely looks green. I mean, Hunter's Hunter.
Which is why you need Natalya in there with her.
Yeah, to protect her and to cover up some of the rough patches. Kurt's going to work okay, but it's just going to be that fringe line okay. Hunter's Hunter. Hunter will get in his spots, but I don't think Hunter's anything special in the ring right now. So I really think casual fans are going to see this and be let down. I think this is going to be a letdown for those casual fans.
Put it this way, Mo and Joel, and then we'll wrap this up. When she was in the ring with Brie, Brie was calling the match.
Yeah.
That's not
so good. Not ideal. Yeah. That match was better than I thought it was going to be. It was better than
it was,
had any
but...
right to be. But it wasn't like it was good. It was better than it had any right to be. And Nikki coming in and turning heel was a big part of that.
Exactly. Nikki turns on her sister, and that's the whole, yeah.
Yeah. So, I can't think of any Stephanie match that's ever been good. Like, I guess the one she had with Trish was okay back in the day. But that's Trish.
But again, we're grading this all on a curve, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like you're expecting it to be so shitty that when it's not incredibly shitty, you just go, boy, it was good. But really what it was just not shitty.
Yeah. So we all think Ronda's going to win. Steph's going to get the armbar. Next up, Joel?
Next up is Kevin Steen and El Generico, because they've been fired, so that's their real names, versus Shane McMahon, another version of...
His real name is El Generico. Yeah. That's the funniest thing you've ever said.
Shane McMahon, which is another sign of nepotism, and one of the things that I'm most excited for at WrestleMania that I never thought would happen, the return of Daniel Bryan. And if Owens and Zayn win, they are rehired to SmackDown. So it's almost a guarantee that they're either A, going to Raw, or they're going to be going... staying on SmackDown, and Daniel Bryan loses his return match. Shane
isn't
like him,
brother.
So,
Joel, you take it away, man. This is all you.
I think this will. I'm really excited to see what Bryan can do with Owens and Zayn. I think that will be the most exciting part. Shane has the hernia. Shane has diverticulitis, whatever, and he's still going to go through with everything because he's insane. So. Kudos to Shane for killing himself for us. Bryan, I'm looking forward to seeing what Bryan does in the ring. That's what I care about, but I think that Owens and Zayn win.
I would agree with you. I'm really excited to see Bryan back. I don't know what to shoot, what to work, what Shane is injured with and what he's not injured with. He's going to do it, so okay. I think Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn win. And then on Tuesday, we got a brand new GM, brother.
I don't see that happening, but I'm pretty torn here, because it's like I never really, like, I'm happy for Daniel Bryan because he wants to do this and he was going to do it, but I really wish he never came back. Like, I'm one of those guys who I just don't think it's worth the risk.
Well,
I'm
anything more, in my head is going to be worrisome, right?
even just any, like, even just a suplex with a lot of speed, mm-hmm. like anything can jar that. Like, and plus it's also the neck that he was having issues with. And I feel like, you know, there was enough signs out there that that it was time to exit gracefully. And you know, I know he's passionate and all, but I'm probably too worried about Daniel Bryan, and I am curious. I hope he does well, but I don't know that I'll ever feel comfortable watching him. But that said, that those three should be awesome. I do think that Owens and Owens and Zayn win by pinning Shane, but we'll see. If Daniel Bryan wins as should be, because that's the ideal storyline, that he gets his win, comes back, and it should close the show. Won't, but it should.
Yeah. Well, back in New Orleans too, right? Of all places.
Exactly.
Yeah. Shane will do his crazy spot, and we're gonna wonder, like, how is the man doing this with diverticulitis?
Well,
if he actually has it, I don't know.
And that'll be another example of nepotism that pisses me off, because it's one of those, he gets to do the spots that they don't let anybody else do, that somebody on the roster should be allowed to do to get them over, because you need to get these guys over, not him.
Like, Apollo Crews could do that move, I'm sure, if he needed to.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it is they're going to do, they would, but they won't. They don't let anybody but the McMahons do the really special shit.
Next up, Joel.
Next up is not a dream match, but merely a rematch that has been a long time coming. It is AJ Styles defending his WWE Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura. They have wrestled once, Wrestle Kingdom. Nakamura successfully defended his Intercontinental title. This is the perfect setup for Nak to get the win, and how they kind of ended things between AJ and Nak tonight is a very good precursor to that's where I think they're going to go. But I can also see AJ retaining here. I think this is potential to be a match of the night. And when Nakamura cares, he's incredible. And AJ's, as Cena said, one of the best wrestlers in the world. I'm pretty darn excited for this match, but I think Nakamura wins.
Mo?
Yeah, their Tokyo Dome match was like 4 9/10. You know, like, it was an incredible match. And this should be just as good. Could very well be the best match of the weekend. I'm really looking forward to it as well. The great part about this is I could see the guy winning. So I'm going to be watching this great match where it feels important, because it feels important to the guys. Therefore, and it's all about the belt. And mm-hmm. and either guy could win, so the drama of those near falls will be great.
Yeah.
And I do think AJ's going to win. It's just a feeling, but
I do as well. I have AJ winning as well. I think the right booking decision is to have Nakamura win, but I think AJ wins, and then Nakamura wins at Backlash, and then AJ goes to Raw.
Could be. When is the Superstar Shakeup happening?
Backlash.
Well, either way, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I love the feud, and I think it's been well done, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I really like. It's just a simple build of with the Kinshasa.
Funny how that works, right?
Right, and then the phenomenal forearm tap in the head. I don't know if it's even arguable. I think that's been the best build of all the matches, really.
Yeah, really, and the crowd's going to be. The crowd will be hot. Could also end the show very, very easily. Be a better choice than Brock and Reigns. It's going to be hot.
Yeah, I think that's the right choice, not even just as a fan of that match. I just think with whatever happens in the next match we're going to talk about, there's going to be that up and down of the crowd. I don't think you'll have quite what you did with Brock with WrestleMania 20, but there's going to be a little bit of that. You're like, oh, he's going back to UFC. Anyways, we'll talk about that in a second. I have AJ winning. Joel?
Nakamura, I got Nak. Going to be, like you guys said, it's going to be a great match. I'm really excited for it. And this match was spoiled by Dave Meltzer last year heading into WrestleMania weekend. He said that this was what they were building towards. And to WWE's credit or discredit, whatever you want to call it, they've stuck to it. Brock has eaten everyone around him except for this guy who can throw 5 Superman punches. and can't keep Brock down, but 1F5 will keep Roman down, except for when Roman kicks out of the first F5 at WrestleMania, and we have Roman's fourth time where he will be coronated as the guy. And I think this one is going to be the one that sticks finally, and it's just going to be kind of finally, you kind of see some of the crowd just finally relenting, going, yay, we'll cheer for you. I don't know how long that lasts, because I think the Joe pop is going to be monstrous the next night, but Roman Reigns is winning, and he will be the whiniest WWE champion because he whined about Brock not being there. Brock didn't whine. Brock has a contract that says he can show up when he wants. So why in God's name would you not take advantage of that? Why in God's name would you be like, well, you know what? Jolly Dee Willigers, Mr. McMahon, you signed me to this contract, but I'm going to show up more because I love it. No. He showed up for his short little run when he first got in, and he was the top draw, and he dealt with stuff, and he left, and he came back, and he's earned the right to show up every once in a while and defend that he's the champion. That's the way it is. That's the contract's given. I don't get why we complain about it, because that's the reality we live in. And so Roman took a stupid bump with the, it's not necessarily Roman's fault, but I didn't like the bump with the handcuffs. I thought that was far too risky. But at the end of the day, Roman Reigns will hit 10 Superman punches. He will hit 3 spears, and Brock Lesnar will suplex him 10 times. And everyone will leave WrestleMania at the end of this going, oh, okay, so Roman's champion. On to the next night.
Mo?
There's no drama to this, which is a huge issue. That, you know, there's no drama at all. Reigns wins. I think both of them will be booed, definitely. I think as the match goes on, they'll end up cheering Brock more than Reigns. I don't think people hate a guy for leaving in the same way when they know they're still going to be able to watch him on pay-per-view just in another place. And there's not the same loyalty and love for WWE brand loyalty among the fans that there once was. That's why you see them, you know, that's why you see things like New Japan and ROH and even UFC doing well, you know, at different points here. So, yeah, I mean, it's... Heyman's promo was great. Like, it's, you know, it was fantastic. I'm still not 100% sure that Brock's going to leave. I worked before, and it could be worked again. But, yeah, I mean, it's... The match they had 3 years ago, I'll say this, was a really good match.
Yeah.
It was a really good match. But there was a lot more, oh, I don't know which way they're going to go there. Because Brock had just resigned, and you know, whereas this one, there's just no drama. And the other things, when Reigns gets this here, this will be like his fourth time he's won it, I think.
Yeah.
And he's what held it for combined like his previous three reigns, like 2 months or something like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
like he had to give it up once to Rollins, who then Ambrose cashed in because of the PEDs. You know, he gave it up. He lost it right away to Sheamus and the Money in the Bank cash in like. This time he's got to have it for a long time, probably even a year.
Oh.
And God, I don't want that. If you're going to give it to him this time, it's time to really give him the ball and see what he can do. And what he can do is not as much as what Daniel Bryan could do.
So here's my thing. I've done a little bit of research on this, and I got a little help from a friend named Chael Sonnen. Brock is – he can't really go back to UFC because – he'd have to go back in the PED pool by USADA. And there's still about 6 months to a year left on that. Okay. The fun fight that he wants that's going to draw the most money is the guy that could be on that ban list for 2 years. I think we're all getting worked. I think everyone thinks this is way too predictable. And God damn it, when it's way too predictable, I'm going to swerve you just to swerve you. I got Brock winning.
You know what? And again, or Brock stays, and it's and Heyman goes with Reigns, and Brock then comes back in 3 months or SummerSlam, and it's a massive match of him getting revenge as the babyface.
Or you could have the Bobby match, or you could have the him and Lashley match.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, that's the biggest thing for me about him and UFC. Like, the match he wants, like you say, he can't have, right? Yeah, he'd still make a shitload of money, but I don't think he wants to make a shitload of money and get beat up. And if he faces Stipe Miocic...
Oh, that's a stupid match.
He's going to get killed. The guy would kill him. If Daniel Cormier does manage to pull it out against Miocic, and I would go 60-40 Miocic. But if Cormier did, then I would say Brock would have about a 30% chance against Cormier, whereas he has a maybe 5% chance against Miocic, if that. Like, it's all about matchups, right, and styles. And yeah, but this is just – there's nobody – like, who's he going to fight? Kane and lose again, or Dos Santos? What does that matter? Nobody gives a shit.
That's what I'm saying. What's the draw?
There's no
draw.
Yeah, that division, it's either people that are younger and better and going to kill him, or people that aren't a draw, so it doesn't matter.
I don't want to see him become a Holyfield or a Tyson. There's still an allure to him as a fighter that he has, and he can just always have that. And I just remember how Holyfield's career ended, and frick, Mike Tyson's career ended. And I don't want his career...
Embarrassing for both of them, yeah.
It's embarrassing, and I don't want him to end as this sideshow where he can be in WWE, and there can always be the snickers, oh, he chose WWE over MMA. But at least he can have that last match that he had, say that I kicked his ass when I wasn't with diverticulitis, and hold his head high on that. If not, this is the guy that I think... doesn't like people, but I do think likes to work. And like Joel mentioned, he's picked up his house shows a little bit, and he's been the champion. He's been a good champion. He's had some pretty good matches this year with Joe, with the AJ match. He's still got to do a match with Finn.
The guy's an asshole, but he's a complete professional.
100%.
He doesn't like people. Yes, he is an asshole. But you know what? He doesn't hurt anybody in the ring. He's very snug, you know. But he's not dangerous. He'll lose like he had to. Like, that was his idea to lose Goldberg because there was more money to be made. You know, he sold like match and night. He would lose to Reigns if they told him to. He'd have no problem with that. He lost to Cena his first night in. He doesn't care. He's a complete professional in the ring. So, yeah, he's a dick, but...
Yeah, and there's bigger draws, Mo, with another match against Roman, where Roman does get it again. Because there was never a winner in that match. There's a bigger draw with Bobby Lashley. That's a big draw for both of them. And there's a big match with Dave Bautista, if Bautista ever does come back. And there's still the Rocky match. There's bigger matches for him in the WWE than there is in the UFC.
And he maintains that aura when he's in the WWE.
Yeah.
He absolutely does.
Yeah, and that's why I'm going with Brock. I think it's all a swerve. The fact they're throwing Brock to gone. And they're just hitting us over the head.
They're almost hitting it too hard, right?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And, I think they're hitting it a little too hard. Anyways, Joel, final thoughts on all that?
Brock's not going anywhere. He'll pop up around, but this is Roman's moment. This is what guys have been sacrificed for. So it is what it is. We've got tremendous amount of wrestling this weekend. So... even though we do have a definite in Brock Lesnar losing, we've got a lot of good things to look forward to. So, sucks, but it is what it is.
All right, Mo, go out on your Iron Sheik story.
You know what? I'll tell it to you guys quickly, but off air.
Okay. Well, everyone, enjoy all of WrestleMania weekend, whatever you do watch. We're very excited for everything that's going to happen this weekend, as long as it may be. Make sure that you enjoy it. And if you do have some adult beverages, get home safe and be smart. And enjoy the week. Make sure you hit us up with your thoughts on We Talk Podcast on Twitter, on One Fall Pod on Twitter, on Instagram. And we look forward to everyone's thoughts and views on WrestleMania and look forward to talking about it as the weekend. For Mo, Joel, and myself, everyone have a great WrestleMania weekend. And until next time, cheers.
And Josh?
Yeah.
Next time we should invite Joel on with us.
We should. Definitely should. Enjoy the day, people.